Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Our text for this Bible study will be verses 3 through 8, but let's begin reading in verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. This Bible study has three parts, three sections. We are going to see the truth. We're going to acknowledge the truth. We are going to see the gospel. And then we are going to see a very serious and very real exhortation. This is something that affects our daily life. Something that we need to understand concerning the Lord's daily dealings with us. All right, now here's the truth. Everything that has been written in this word is the truth. If it is written in this word, it stands as absolute truth. Verse 3 says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Fornication is a physical relationship between a man and a woman outside of the covenant of marriage. In the period of time when Paul wrote this, the Gentiles, who were anybody who was not a Jew, the Gentiles did not see fornication as being a sin against God. It was rampant. And they just, it never entered their mind. And that's exactly how it is today. That's how it is right now. Maybe a few decades ago, it might have entered people's minds that this is wrong. But not now. It is a very, very common practice. You are considered, I wrote, you're almost considered, I'm going to take almost out, you are considered strange if you're not a fornicator. What? Paul had to tell them, this may be a shock to you, but God says it's sin against him. And I say the same thing right now. I want our young people to very clearly understand, and I want our adults to very clearly understand, that God says it is sin against him, and he will not have it. It shouldn't happen anywhere. Shouldn't happen anywhere. Especially within a congregation of people who claim to be believers. It should not be. Spiritually, this is what it's saying to God. I can have union without your covenant. That's what it's saying. I don't need your covenant. It represents man's free will. I can do whatever I want to do. It represents man's free will. It represents rebellion to the only thing that God said would unite us back to him. The covenant of the blood of Christ and to continue in a relationship of fornication is to spit in God's face and it's to spit on his covenant. So if anyone is involved in a fornication relationship, stop doing it. Not that I know of anybody who's involved in one. I'm just saying, stop doing it. Stop doing it. Uncleanness is the same thing in a more vile form. It refers to adultery, which is not just denying God's covenant. It's denying my own covenant to God that I made concerning my spouse. It refers to incest. It refers to homosexuality. And I know that it's almost illegal to preach against that now. But this is what God says. God said, it is unclean in my eyes. It is sin against me. Covetousness, that is lusting over the things that you don't have. In the context of the verse, it's lusting over the two things that were just mentioned. Fornication and uncleanness. Lusting in the mind, lusting in the heart. He said in verse 3, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Verse 4 says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting. Those three things are sins that come out of the mouth. Filthiness is obscenity, obscene words. Just a foul mouth, a dirty mouth. That is not becoming of a child of God. Not at all. We all know people who cuss so much they don't even know they're doing it. And that's just not becoming of a child of God. Let it not be so named among us. It's not honoring to him. Verse 4, foolish talking is exaggerating, which that sounds like every single one of us here. Every man and woman on this earth, that's what we do. We exaggerate everything. It also means worldly talking. Jesting means making a joke of. Is he saying that we can't talk about worldly things and tell jokes? Absolutely not. I love jokes. I love a good joke. What he's saying is, let's not let worldly conversation become a hindrance to our spiritual conversation. When we gather here, when we gather into this place for the purpose of what we're doing, we're here for a particular purpose. This right here is our calling. This is our life. Our worship. It's no joking matter. So he said, filthy talking and worldly exaggeration, anything that removes the seriousness of what we're doing, he went on to say, it's not convenient. Which are not convenient, not fitting, not proper, not profitable. He said at the end of verse 4, but rather giving of thanks. That's what ought to come out of our mouth. That's what ought to come out of our mouth. That's what we ought to be focused on, and that's what we're here to do. We're here to give thanks to God. For all things. Thanks for his grace. Thanks for his mercy. All his kindness. Verse 5 says, for this you know that no whoremonger, and that's a fornicator, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, a man who worships and serves anything other than the true and living God, in this case, himself. We are our greatest idol. We love us. We worship us. We serve us. So he said, this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. None. No inheritance. Verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, empty lying words, words that are just not true. Don't let a preacher stand up and tell you, don't worry, it's all okay. Don't let a man do that. Verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. These sins against God are the very things that will send us, sends God's wrath and judgment on us and send us to an eternal destruction. These very things. God punishes sin. God punishes sin. Verse 7, be not ye therefore partakers with them. No buts about it. No loopholes. There's a period at the end of that verse. God said, you better not do it, so you better not do it. I'd better not do it too. Now, I told you we were going to begin with the truth. Here it is. God said, whoever commits these sins has no part with me, and my wrath is going to come down on him. All right, here's the truth. Not one person in this room is exempt from any of those sins. Not one person in this room. We have all sinned against God in every way, shape, and form. All of us. Some will commit fornication in the body. All will commit fornication in the mind and in the heart. Uncleanness. Some will commit adultery in the body. All will commit adultery in the mind and in the heart. And God says there's no difference. In Matthew 5, he said in his eyes, it's the same thing. It's all the same thing. We have all coveted, all of us. Absolute filth has poured out of every mouth here. There's not one sin, not one sin that any of us can say, that's never touched me. Not one sin. That's the truth. All right, now turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John 2, verse 1 says, my little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. That's the gospel. That's the good news. I'm going to explain this more deeply in just a moment in our message. But right now, let me just say that all of us have sinned these sins. All of us have sinned these sins. But Christ advocated for us by taking the blame of our sin. He advocated for us by representing us in His body and washing us in His blood. And in doing so, He removed the stain of all of that sin that was on us. I love the song that says, dark the stain that soiled man's nature. Long the distance that he fell. Far removed from hope and heaven into deep despair and hell. But there was a fountain opened. And the blood of God's own Son purifies the soul and reaches deeper than the stain has gone. Praise the Lord for full salvation. God still reigns upon the throne. And I know the blood still reaches deeper than the stain has gone. Turn with me over to 1 Corinthians 6. First Corinthians 6, verse 9 says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God, and such were some of you. But you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So the truth is, all of us have committed these horrible sins against God. All of us. But the gospel is, if God the Father chose to give us to His Son, if He chose to hand us over to Christ, then the Lord Jesus Christ has washed us from those sins in His own blood. All right, now here's the last thing that I want us to see. Go back to Ephesians 5. This is a very real and serious exhortation that immediately affects us. Verse 8, Ephesians 5, verse 8, it says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." If God chose us, and if Christ redeemed us, we are washed. We are complete in Him. We are, as the end of verse 1 says, dear children. Dear children, adopted into His family. Therefore, He will deal with us as children. All right, if it's all the same whether you do it in deed or heart, if that's all the same, what stops us from doing it in deed? If we are His children, then He will deal with us as children. Turn with me over to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verse 5. "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons." What he's saying is, if we are God's children, if He is our Father, and if He loves us, He will straighten us up when we get out of line. He will. He'll straighten us up when we get out of line. I don't ever plan on chastening, correcting, instructing, rebuking. I don't ever plan on chastening any of your children when they get out of line. I don't ever plan on doing that. But there are two little girls who should expect those things when they get out of line. They should expect them. And the reason is because they are my children. I'm their father, and I love them. I love them. I want what is best for them. Therefore, I will correct them. It's because I want what's best for them. Our holy heavenly Father is going to do what is best for us. Therefore, He will correct us. He loves us. The lie of religion, the lie of man's works, the lie that steals all the glory away from what Christ secured for His people is, now you'd better stop your sinning or you're going to lose your salvation. That's the lie. That's the lie. You better stop sinning. You're going to undo what Christ did. You're going to lose your salvation. That's a lie. That's a lie. If our salvation was dependent on our ability to stop sinning, none of us would be saved. None of us. Christ saved us. We are bought with a price. We belong to Him. And no soul that belongs to him is going to become lost. Not one soul. But the things that we do as his children can either bring a smiling countenance to us or a frowning countenance to us, just like it is with our own children. The same way. We can do things that bring honor to his name, or we can do things that bring a reproach on his name. And in return, he can either speak tenderly to us through his word, or he can speak harshly to us through his word. He can bring himself very near to us, or he can cause himself to be far from us. He said he'd never leave us. He said, I'll never leave you. Never. But we can cause him to not commune with us, commune with our hearts. We can cause our road to be pretty rocky if we want it to be. So for that reason, our Lord has given to us his commandments to us. These are his commandments to us. We read commandments and you hear the word grace and think, well, that doesn't apply to me. No, these are his commandments to us. As his children, as his people. And our exhortation is, let's strive to do them. Let's strive to be obedient children. He said, you are now children of light. Walk as children of light. Let's strive to bring honor to him and bring reverence to him. Children who behave are well pleasing to their parents. Children who behave are well pleasing to their parents. Right here in Hebrews 12, verse 9 says, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Correction always brings the peaceable fruit of righteousness. It always does. Children are always happier after they've been corrected. They're always happier. You'll find that to be so. They're always happier after they've been corrected. Now, most of you have heard this, but maybe one or two has not. And this just has to be told along with this exhortation. A man named Walter Gruver took his family to Mexico. He is a missionary to Mexico. And he took his family down there 50 years ago or more. And when his children were young, there was a little girl who came knocking on their door begging for food. And this happened a few times in a row, a few days in a row. And Betty, Walter's wife, found out who she was and who her mother was and went and visited her mother. And the mother could not afford to feed the children. She had many children and she just couldn't afford to feed them all. So Betty asked her, can she just come live with us and I'll take care of her and feed her? And the mother said, yeah, that would be wonderful. So for years, many years, this little girl lived with them and was one of the children of the family. But she was not a biological child of the family. And every time that the kids got into something, Walter would discipline his children. They'd all go to the back room, but she wouldn't go because she was not his biological child. And after this went on for a while, one day she fell down in the floor just kicking and screaming. And Walter came in and said, what are you doing? And she was just kicking and screaming and, you know, by herself throwing a tantrum. And he said, stop that. And she got into it more and more. And he said, if you don't stop, I'm going to spank you. And she gave it all she had. And he said, let's go. So all the kids thought, she's going to find out what's in that room. And he took her back there and he wore her out lovingly, lovingly. And after a little while, she came out of that room with huge crocodile tears running down her face and the biggest smile they'd ever seen on her face. And Walter came out and told Betty after it was over, she crawled up in his lap and hugged him around the neck and whispered in his ear, now I know you love me. Now I know you love me. Parents, remember that. Remember that. If you want your kids to know you love them, remember that. Correct them, discipline them. And if we want to know that our Father loves us, let's recognize His correction when we get out of line. And what do you think she did after that was over? You think she went back to the living room floor and threw another tantrum? No. No way. And neither should we. Let's stop all of these things that go against our Lord, go against our God's Word. We have been made to be children of light in the Lord. Let's, by God's grace, strive to walk in that light. All right. You're dismissed.